to the sequence in the Gospel of John, we're on the fourth chapter. I'm going to do the entire fourth chapter, well, verses 1 through 30. And this is a huge passage of Scripture. It's very important to me anyways. I hope that you find it too. Because it is a passage of Scripture where it's just right down where the rubber is on the road. This is not in-depth theology that's flying high. This is Jesus encountering a single person, a broken person, a fallen person, a person whose life has been somewhat of a disappointment, and Jesus brings them the hope of the gospel. So, I'm going to read John chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. That's the version that will be on the wall. Yours may be different. If you're following along from the Pew Bible, it's certainly going to be different. John chapter 4, verse 1. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. So he traveled up north. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" Verse 12. "Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I might not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband." Ooh, embarrassing. "What you have said is true," the woman said to him. "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Verse 24, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. Wow. Just then the disciples came back. They marveled that He was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why aren't you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to Him. Wow. I needed, or I wanted to read the entire passage so you could really get the drift of what was going on at the well in that little town of Sychar that day. Jesus was hanging out by the well. He was tired, weak. And it almost seems like it's going to be a chance meeting. But it's Jesus. Do you really think that anything ever happens by chance? No. Jesus is there, not resting from His journey. He is there waiting for this woman to show up so that He could talk to her, about spiritual things, about living water. Think about all that we've read in this passage. She wants to know, why are you a Jew? Why are you taking time to talk to a Samaritan? Even the disciples were like, he's talking to a woman. A woman? Really? So she's Samaritan. She's a woman. She's not a wealthy woman, or she wouldn't be packing her own water. She's been married 5 times. I don't know if she's been divorced 5 times or what's going on, or widowed 5 times, but 5 times, and she's shacking up with some guy. And Jesus, who only has this 3.5-year ministry, Jesus takes a part of one of His precious afternoons, and He is at the well in Samaria, waiting for her. Do you think He has time for you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whatever your problems, whatever your past, whatever's going on, He is not too good for you. Amen. Because He chose to come down here with us. So those days and those times when you think, I'm not worth it, you remember this lady, because she was worth it. And if she was worth it, we are worth it. And we become worth it because Jesus decided that we're worth it, because He is the Messiah. Now, when we go back to, let's talk about living water for a minute. It doesn't take Einstein to figure out that Jesus isn't offering H2O. He's not going to give her a drink of water. He's offering her something else. And to understand what Jesus is offering when He talks about living water, we can turn to some other passages quite quickly and find that out. Just a couple pages over in John chapter 7, He describes what living water is. So I'll read John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That should be describing us, by the way. That out of our hearts should be flowing living waters. Verse 39. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But since then Jesus has been glorified, so those who believe receive the Spirit, and the Spirit is the living water. The very thing that he was telling this woman at the well that would be available to her is available to us if we will pursue it, if we will look for it, if we will desire it, if we will believe in him and receive it and drink. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Wow, that's out of us. The overflowing of the Spirit of God. So, we know that when Jesus speaks of living water, he is speaking of the Holy Spirit. But this is not something new. It's not something new in the New Testament, because Isaiah had taught about this 600 years earlier. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3 says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground." This is God speaking. "I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Some of you need to look that up. Isaiah 44:3. And you need to mark it down in your own Bible. You need to circle it, and you need to highlight it. You need to get a little neon arrow that points to it, so that every time you flash through, it's going to pop out of your Bible that God is willing to pour out his Spirit upon your offspring and his blessing on your descendants. Your kids ever get you down? You ever think, "Man, how did I raise that thing?" Don't go there. Because that's not the place, that's not the attitude that God is calling you to face your children with. God is calling you to see that though their land may be thirsty, he is pouring out a river of life. Where does that river come from? Remember the last passage? It comes out of us as we receive from him. So we receive from the Spirit. The Spirit flows from us and splashes all over our kids. If your kids are at times frustrating for you, it might be because you're not splashing quite enough. So, get a little deeper in the water. Be a little more excited about what God is doing. Stop making excuses. Stop seeing things as coincidences. When your kid calls you up and says, "Oh, life is so miserable, my car's broke down, things are terrible, I just don't know what I'm going to do," stop saying, "Oh, honey, I'll mail you $50. Just tell them, "You know what? I'm going to pray for you and believe God for you. And they're like, no, Mom, I need 50 bucks. No, you need my prayers. I'm going to spend 50 bucks on me. Oh. I'm going to go get a haircut. I'm going to go get a perm. I'm going to go buy some jewelry. You're going to figure this out with God, and you're going to find victory in Him. Now, some of you might even be saying, Pastor, this is worse, because my kid's an addict, and they're stuck. They can't get out. To that, I want to say this, you're right. Your kid is stuck. They can't get out without God. And as long as you stand as a faith mediator between them and God, they will be forever stuck. There is only one mediator between man and God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to get out of their way. We have to get out of His way. We have to. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. It's even worse than that. My child isn't an addict. My child is dead. All hope is gone. My child is off this earth. When exactly is it that your faith dies out? Your faith. It's because I read here that God is going to pour out His Spirit on my offspring. There's no caveat there that says, well, until they die. He says He is going to pour out His Spirit on your offspring. And His blessings on your descendants. Let your faith transcend life. Let it go all the way into death. If you're looking for a miracle, you need the impossible for a miracle. Believe that God can do it. You say, Pastor, it's not theologically sound. I know. But it sure is full with faith. It sure is full with faith to believe that one day, when you stand in the presence of God, you can fully expect to see your child that's gone on before you. You can fully expect to greet them there because Jesus Christ died for the sins of man. Hold on to your faith and do not let it go. God's promises do not lie. Does that mean everybody goes to heaven? No, that means it's all up to God. And we can rest and trust in that. If we have faith. Believe and let Christ live abundantly in your life. Because when you start to doubt, that's when the living water starts getting churned down. Not because He's not pouring it, but because we stop drinking it. We stop taking it in and splashing it out on others. And that's when it's like, I'm a Christian. I'm happy. I have faith in God. I guess. Now, in John chapter 4, Jesus called the woman at the well to accept the Spirit of God. Calls her to find the ever-quenching river of life that has been spoken of since the Old Testament times. And it's decided... I skipped some of my notes, so I got to catch up. And so he's offering this river of life. Now, who is going to turn that down? Well, the lady's not going to turn it down. I wouldn't turn it down. He's offering the river of life. I'm not going to turn it down. So in John chapter 4 and verse 15, the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Okay. Now remember that the living water is the Holy Spirit. In another place, the Bible cautions people about cleaning themselves up spiritually, but not filling themselves up with the Holy Spirit. And that's in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. And it says there, when Jesus is teaching, he says, when the unclean spirit has gone out, a person passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order, and then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they entered and dwell there. And the last state of the person is worse than the first. So also it will be with this evil generation. Now, Jesus he's committing to giving this woman living water. He's committed to giving those of us that believe the living water. Jesus asks her, though, about her life. See, because he understands that if all we do is clean ourselves out through the washing of the Spirit, and we don't fill ourselves with the Spirit, if all we do is wash ourselves out, then we're empty and we're going to be in a worse state than before. I'm afraid that a lot of Christians today do this. Come, they receive Christ, they believe, they get all clean inside, but they're just clean and they're empty because the Holy Spirit isn't filling them ongoing, daily, hourly, minutely, sometimes every second. Because that's how we need to live if we want to be filled with God. So, Jesus challenges this woman at this point to go and call her husband to come here. A woman, she just says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you're right. I know you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and now you're shacked up with some guy. So what you said is true. You don't have one. The woman said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. You see, she acknowledges that Jesus is a prophet. But then she detours the topic away from her personal life. She doesn't want to talk about her five husbands or the man that she's living with now. No, that's embarrassing. Jesus and this woman are strangers. This is not a socially accepted conversation that they're having. This is awkward. So she diverts the conversation. So in verse 19, it says, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. In verse 20, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you say that Jerusalem is the place to worship. But that's where people ought to worship. Oh, there she goes. Are you with her? Can you feel what she's doing? We're not going to talk about me. We're going to talk about the Bible. Let's not bring up all this personal stuff. Let's talk about theology and doctrine. Let's be all vague and out there. Let's not be all personal, Jesus. Let's do a Bible study about stuff. But let's not clean me up. See, I just want to be washed and get the bad stuff out, and that's it. I don't want to deal with anything. I want to stay where I am. So, Jesus, he's not going there with her. He's not interested in speaking about their differences. He wants her to understand her personal need to drink from the living water and to become filled. So Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Now, God is in search of people who will worship in spirit and truth. That is, that God wants people who will worship him with their energy and their actions, as well as with their thoughts and their intellect. God wants people who will worship him when it makes sense to worship him, and when it doesn't make any sense to worship him. God wants people who will worship him when their kids are little and they're trying to raise them up. And God wants people who will continue to worship him when your kids are all grown up, or your parents or your neighbors or your husband or your ex-husband that you wish would fall off a cliff. God wants you to be worshiping him then too. All the way through. Because he wants people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. You ever read through the book of Psalms? One of the things you'll find in the book of Psalms is that a lot of the Psalms aren't theologically sound. You're saying the Bible's not theologically sound? I'm saying that when David is saying, "Lord, I wish you'd kill those guys because they're bugging me," that is not consistent with the teachings of the rest of the scripture. But you know what it is? It is consistent with life. And what David is doing in the Psalms and the other writers of the Psalms is they are saying, you know what? I'm going to take today's hurts and I'm going to verbalize them. I'm going to tell God exactly how I feel. And then I'm going to step back and I'm going to say, you know what? Together, Lord, we'll get this. We'll take it. Because they want to be washed. They want to be cleansed. They also want to be filled. Are you filled or are you just washed? Verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." I'm afraid that there's a lot of people today that are still waiting for someone to come in and fix their lives. They're waiting for somebody to come in and fix their marriage. They're waiting for somebody to come in and fix their relationships. They're waiting for somebody to come in and fix their job. They're waiting for somebody to come in and fix their health. They're waiting and waiting and waiting. He's already here. You say, "Well, then why aren't I well?" You're not well because you don't embrace where you are. Because you see, wellness isn't about how your body feels. Wellness is about how your heart feels. That's wellness. Because when you're well in here, when you're free in here, that's when whatever happens out here, it's just all part of the process. It's all fine. This woman went to town, and she told the people, come and see. Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be Christ? That's when this woman died. That's when she found the living water. When she finally interacted with the reality that Jesus was there for the taking. He was there for the taking. She left her water jar behind. She left her chores. She left her daily routine. She left her theologies and her doctrines because she had found Him. And when she opened her heart to the living water poured inside her, and she became filled, there was no turning back. She was changed. There was a man inside her that night looking for a new place to stay because she gave him up. Because she had found the living water. That's what's available to us. I want to challenge you today. Don't be settled with just knowing the story. Don't be settled with just being washed. Don't be settled until you're filled with the living water, so that when the evil spirits and the attitudes and all the things that are leaving you, when those things come back, they're going to find you full. And bad attitude is not going to have room to set up house in you anymore. Because a bad attitude can't thrive where the good attitude is overwhelming. So you say, Pastor, you tell me I have to live up here on a high all the time? Oh, yeah. Don't I wish? But the reality is, we're constantly dropping down, and it's like, no, that's not where I live. I live up there. That's where Jesus has called me. Place my feet on high places. That's where I'm going. And yeah, you forget, because we're made of flesh, and the back hurts, and the hip hurts, and you start worrying, and your money's not quite what you think it ought to be, but then you remember, and you head back up. Because you're not going to be settled with being empty. You're only going to be satisfied when you're full. That's when you really know Jesus. Let's stand together. Read your Bible. Get involved. Troy was talking about, we used to have all these Bible studies. He mentioned that a lot of stuff. Start some Bible studies. I'm up for it. We are a church. We are a family. We need one another, but we need to all pull together in a common direction. The common direction is always the same. It's pulling toward Jesus and being filled with Him. We find Him in the Word. We find Him, that's the Bible. We find Him in our prayers. We find Him by talking to one another and saying, I'm feeling down today. Do you have any message from the Lord for me? And we're not looking for a psychic reading here. We're looking for somebody to say, Jesus loves you, this I know. For the Bible tells you so, and I'm telling you too. But if you don't talk, you don't know. We are a family. We are a community. Don't get self-absorbed and dry out. Soak yourself up in the rivers of life. Father, we want to thank you that in you there is way. That in you there is life. That in you there is hope. In Jesus' name, I pray. Not when you can have so much. Lift your eyes up when you're in the valley. See the hilltops. When you're on the hilltops, lift your eyes up that you might see those around you that need lifted up. That you might find victory every step of the way. For Easter has passed, but He is still risen. Amen?
Amen.
He is risen.
He's risen indeed.
I'll say it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Father, I ask your blessings on this congregation. Help us, Lord, to walk in a newness of life, filled by your Holy Spirit, filled to overflowing, filled with the living water, so much that our shoes squeak when we walk.